Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you back in person. And those of you who are joining us online, we continue to be blessed by the fact that you're connecting with us here at CPC. We're so thankful for technology and being able to stay connected. But man, it is so good to see everybody who's here, who's joined us today in person. And we are so hopeful that we will move to the 25% in just a few weeks and then get towards full attendance with all the things that allow us to do what God wants us to do. So we are super excited. I don't know if you got out the last couple days since the opening of phase one, but as I've driven through the area, through Orleans, I've seen all kinds of people who have been gathering together on patios in restaurants and just finally getting a chance to go out for dinner. And this morning I want you to imagine that maybe this is your first time going to a restaurant with your spouse. And you come to the restaurant and you walk in the front doors and you stand there at that sign that says, please wait to be served. And you stand there and you stand there and you stand there and you stand there. And 20 minutes later, you're still standing there. Now, you're not quite sure why you're still standing there. The sensible person would have quickly left after having waited for about 5 or 10 minutes. But you are super hungry. You've been in lockdown, and you just want to eat. And so you wait, and you wait for another 10 more minutes. And finally, a server comes to you and says, hey, just pick whatever table you want. You are quite surprised by the response, and the server goes off, and so you look around the restaurant and you go and sit down. You sit down at a table that has barely been cleaned. There are no paper. What's it called? Serviette. Anyways, you know what I'm saying. There's nothing there for your plate. There are no utensils. There's no water, and so you wait and you wait and you wait. You can't believe it. Another 15 minutes, and finally the servant or the waitress comes over to you and says, what do you want? You are completely shocked. And you say, well, we really don't know what we can order here because we don't have menus. And so she looks and she goes, oh yeah, they're over there. Go help yourself. And she walks away. Now, you are just so anticipating eating this restaurant that even though you're shocked, you decide to go get the menus, you bring them back to your table, and you start to go through, and you finally determine what you want to eat. Now, you've been waiting forever, and you're ready to put your order in, but it takes another 20 minutes for the waitress to come back, and she's like, yeah. You tell her what you want. She's like, all right. And you're like, hey, by the way, could we get some utensils and maybe a glass of water? All right. And so she goes over. She throws the utensils onto your table. She's slams the cup of water down, and she goes off to the kitchen to put your order in. 15 minutes later, your food comes back. It's barely warm, but it's placed on the table, and you make your way through the food. But before you even get to the food, as soon as she places the food on the table, she goes, oh, by the way, when you are done, here's the bill. Just pay on your way out, and she takes off, never to return. You finish your meal. You go and pay. And you walk out. I don't know what you tipped this person, but it's not been a good experience. Now, friends, let me ask you a question. If you experience something like that, do you think you're ever going to return? Do you ever think you're going to return to the restaurant? Maybe you'll get online and you'll do a Yelp review. Maybe you'll talk to the manager. Maybe you'll post on Facebook about your experience. But it's likely that you're not going to return to the restaurant because you have a certain expectation that you will be served. And not just served, but you will be served with excellence, and that the people who are serving you will go beyond expectations. You have this expectation in your heart that if you go to a restaurant, that they actually care about the customer and that they will serve you beyond expectation. You see, the degree to which we are served seems to show the value of us towards somebody else. If there is high service in the restaurant, we feel highly valued. But if there is low service in the restaurant, we feel we have low value to that restaurant and to the server. Let me ask you this. How's your service as a Christian? How's your service as a Christian? Because the truth is that as Christians, our level of service can reflect our value of God. I know this is going to be a little painful for some people, but the truth is that if we are not serving with a high level, then it shows something of our value for God. If we serve with a low level in the body of Christ, it shows that we have a low value of God. I'm going to show you this morning. But the level of which you serve shows your value for God. You think about the story in John chapter 12. The woman comes to Jesus, and there's nobody who has cleaned his feet. And what the woman does is she takes this jar of fancy perfume, this perfume that is worth a year's wages, and she bends down onto her knees, she lets down her hair, and she begins to wash Jesus' feet, anointing his feet with a highly valuable ointment, a highly valuable perfume, and she anoints his feet and serves him beyond expectation. You see, most people would be expected to at least just make sure that the guest had their feet washed. But she serves beyond expectation because she has a high value for Jesus. Friends, listen to me this morning. No church should be lacking in servants. No church should be lacking in volunteers because our value of Jesus Christ is so high that our value, our service should be high also. Our service should be high. I'm not getting a whole lot of amens, but it's true. Our service for Jesus should be high because we have a high value for Jesus. And I want to talk about this morning. We're going to look at two passages found in the two books of Corinthians, the two letters to the Corinthians. The first is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my brothers, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain." And then if we go to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he writes in chapter 9, verse 8, "And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Okay, Paul's talking to the Corinthians, the church in Corinth. And we know that he has commended them for the giving, that he's pleaded to them for their giving. There's been an overflow of finances. We talked about that a few weeks ago, an overflow of finances that's going towards the church in Jerusalem to help with the poor. There's an overflow of finances in this church. If you've read through the books of Corinthians, you also know that there's an overflow of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are fully in operation. There are signs and wonders taking place. This church is the epitome of what many of us long for, to see the Spirit of God work. And so there's an overflow of finances. There's an overflow of the Spirit. And now Paul is saying, hey, those things are great, but listen, if you have a high value of God, if you have a high value of the person you say you're committed to, if you have a high value, there needs to be an overflow of service, an overflow of service. And I want to break this down. First of all, Paul shows us that we are to serve beyond expectation. Serve beyond expectation. He says this, "Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord." This word fully means overflow, abundant, beyond expectation. Paul's telling them to go beyond whatever is expected of them in service. Over my years of ministry, I've preached many retreats. And there was this one opportunity I had to preach at a snow retreat in Vermont. It was just before Christmas, and I was traveling with this youth group, and so we got onto this bus early on a I don't even know what day of the week it was, some morning. We got onto the bus, and I knew the route that we were going to be stopping for lunch in Brockville. We arrived in Brockville, and I'm standing there with the pastor who's overseeing this retreat. We're in line, and as we're talking, I know the posture. He's just ahead of me, and I know the posture because I had served so many people, hosted so many guest speakers, and I knew that if you're the host, you should stand just in front of the speaker so that when time comes, you arrive at the counter, you quickly say, hey, order whatever you want, and then you put your order in to the cashier. So I was like, this is what happens. I know the posture. I know it's going to happen. We're going to get there. This person's going to say that. We get to the front of the line. The youth pastor moves forward. I'm waiting for the line. He orders his own food and then he pays. I think to myself, my goodness, I'm the guest speaker and he's not even paying for my lunch. Now, friends, I had brought a $20 bill with me, and so I thought, okay, I'll pay. I don't know why I didn't use Interact or whatever, but I had $20. I thought this is going to be what I use this week. And so I took that $20 bill and I paid for my lunch at McDonald's. I was completely shocked. The bare minimum expectation is that you would pay for the speaker's meal. We continued traveling. We arrived in the States and we took another stop. And this time we were going to go and get a snack. And so I found myself by myself because the youth pastor went off to buy himself more food and nothing was offered to me. And so I took a few more dollars that were in my pocket, went over to Dunkin' Donuts and got myself a donut and a very bad coffee. Then we got to the retreat center and everybody was getting sorted out and all of a sudden all these pizza boxes came in. And I'll never forget it because one of the leaders came over to me and said, hey, let's get you your pizza. Now, the deal was it was $3 American per slice or two slices for $5 American. I had the equivalent of about $3 Canadian in my pocket. I had gone through that much money. And so as we're getting there, I thought, well, I'm going to at least offer. But, we're at the retreat center. Surely they're going to just, like, this guy's bring me to the front so he could cover my pizza. I mean, like, I'm the guest speaker. They've invited me. This is just before Christmas. And surely they're going to cover me. And as I pull up my money, I said, hey, Just before I pick my pizza, is there any way that I could just give you this, or I could pay you back in a couple days when I get to the store, and I'll take out some money because all I have is $3. The person looks at me and says, "Well, just give me whatever you have, and we'll call it even." And so now I'm completely out of money. I've just paid for my own dinner, and I am completely shocked that my lunch hasn't been paid for, that my snacks haven't been paid for, that my dinner's not paid for. And friends, the truth is, outside the meals at the lodge, that every one of my meals was covered. And so for the next couple days, I went without lunch. Now, I think that was because of my own stubbornness. I could have bought myself something. But I was so in shock that this church, that this leader wouldn't do the bare minimum. I mean, this was not going above and beyond. It was just what was expected of any host who had hosted a speaker, and they weren't even able to do the minimum. And whenever we see someone who's not willing to do the minimum, we're shocked. We have an expectation. We have an understanding of what the bare minimums are. If you're on the worship team, you play the same song, and you play it in the same key. That's the bare minimum. I mean, this morning, Jess didn't play one song and Steve another song. The bare minimum is you play the same song in the same key. If you're an usher, you show up on time and you treat people well. You don't say nasty things to them at the door. What's the deal with your hair? You wore that? Oh, come on. You're not welcome. Can you imagine? No, there's a bare minimum that the usher is going to be a friendly person. You're a teacher here in the church. You're doing a small group. The bare minimum is that you teach biblically. You're not opening up the book of the Quran and saying, let's investigate what this book says. We understand the bare minimums. And when people don't do the bare minimums, the same shock that I had at that retreat occurs in our lives. But Paul is not saying to do the bare minimum. He's saying that as Christians who highly value Jesus Christ, that we are to do the bare minimum and then go far beyond. That in whatever area we're serving in, that we are to go beyond the expectations. Even if a pastor says, hey, I'm going to plug you in here, and this is what I need you to do, that we go far and beyond because we have a high value of Jesus Christ. Go beyond your expectations. Overflow in your servanthood. I'll never forget when about 2 years before Bible college, I saw on the billboard in our church foyer that they were looking for a janitor. I needed a job that summer, didn't have one. And so I went to my pastor and said, hey, could you hire me? I'm willing to do this. And he says, have you had any janitorial experience? I said, no, I don't have any, but you've had this up for a number of weeks. You need someone to clean the church, and I'm a capable person, so why don't you hire me until you get somebody else? He's like, okay, we'll do it. I got hired for my church. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't do most of the task at home, so I didn't really know, but I knew I could figure it out. And so my pastor took me around the church and showed me what needed to be done. I had a basic concept that we were to vacuum the carpets and wash the windows and clean the bathrooms and pick up the garbage and make sure I pulled all the bulletins from the pews. I got the basics down. And so he took me around and told me what I needed to do. Well, friends, after a couple of weeks, I got into the rhythm of things, understood what I was to do, and start to do it very excellently. And I found myself ahead of my schedule, and I had some time, some extra time in my week. Now I had two options. I could slack off and just go find a spot in the corner of the church and take a nap. Or I could slow down and do the bare minimum in the expected time. Or I could step up and go beyond what my pastor expected of me. I could step up, and so I decided to do that. So I started looking around the church for places that had never been cleaned, things that I had noticed but were not part of the regular routine. One day I was in the staircase, and I was cleaning all the rails, the handrails. I thought, man, people keep walking down the handrails, and they keep touching it, and all the grease builds up, and I should clean those and clean the spindles on the rail. And so I'm there, and I'm washing these rails rigorously. We had a school in our church, and so the principal of the school happened to be walking into the staircase this day I was doing it. He stopped and he said, "Jeff, I've never seen anybody clean the rails before." Now, I paused for a second because I wasn't sure if this was like a correction moment, him saying like, "You shouldn't be doing this," and or what. And I looked at him, and I think he saw the perplexity in my face. And he said, no. He said, "It's not a problem." He said, "I just want to tell you how impressed I am and how clean this place is." He says, "You're not just cleaning the place well, but you are cleaning places that have never been cleaned. You're going beyond the expectations." You see, friends, that's what Jesus wants from us. Jesus wants there to be an overflow of servanthood in our lives. He wants us to go beyond expectations, not just do what the overseer says, not just do what's on the job description, but serve in a way that there's an overflow of servanthood from our lives that shows the high value of Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." It's actually my favorite verse in the Bible, and it's what I live my life by. If I'm going to do something, I'm giving it 110%. Whatever my hand finds to do, do it with all my might. Serve beyond expectation. Number two, serve with purpose. Paul says, "Because you know that your labor is not in vain." Because you know your labor is not in vain. Vain means empty, without value. It's easy to wonder about the value of our service, about our ministry. Does anyone even notice what we're doing? I got to tell you, over the last year and a half in this pandemic, there have been so many things our staff have been doing, and there have been days I've said to Ains, "I'm not sure anybody notices how hard we're working. I'm not sure anybody notices what we're doing." And there's times you feel like it's all in vain. Does it matter? Is my contribution irrelevant? But Paul says that serving should overflow with purpose. With purpose. And what does he mean? Well, friends, your service is, first of all, a reflection on the idea that we are serving God. We are serving God. Whenever you serve in the church, whenever you serve in ministry, you're not just serving Jeff Hillier. You're not just serving Beth Waddell or Steve Odd or Haley Tollefson or Nick Romaine or whoever it may be. You are serving God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with your whole being for the Lord and not for men." Work at it with your whole being for the Lord, not for men. You see, the question we've got to wrestle with when we're serving is, why am I doing this? Am I doing this to please someone? Am I serving out of obligation because I feel guilty if I don't? Am I serving because there's a need? Am I serving to fulfill the giftings that are in my life? And at moments, each of these may have a positive element. But if these are our motivations, friends, I'm telling you this. At the end of your servanthood, at the end of your service in an area of ministry, you're going to feel empty because you're not serving for the right reason. You see, our greatest meaning in serving. The reason why it's not vain is because we are serving at the pleasure of God. Please listen. Service is an act of worship. Is an act of worship. You think worship is just what we do in this auditorium with the musicians on the stage? Our service is a way of worshiping God and showing us our value of Him. We are serving Him, as we read in that passage from Colossians. There was a great violinist, and he was performing a concert one night in a big hall. And he finished this great night playing the violin masterfully. And when he finished, the crowd erupted and applauded, and he walked off stage. He came back and played another song, this time even better than anything he had played in his original performance. And the crowd stood again and applauded, but he looked out and saw everybody, walked off stage and came back and played another song. This went on a number of times. Each time the song was getting better and better. Whatever song he played, it was done with greater excellence. And each time he ended, the place would stand in applause and he'd look out, and then he'd walk backstage and come back for another encore. Finally, he played one last song. The place erupted, applauded. It was the best performance of the night. He looked out, smiled, walked off, and was done. After the concert, a news reporter came to him and said, "Hey, I want to just talk to you. That was a fantastic performance. But why did you keep coming back? Well, why did you keep performing encores? Like you kept getting better, but why did you keep doing that?" He said, "You see, the individual, my master who taught me how to play the violin, was in the crowd tonight. And when I ended my performance and everybody stood, my master sat down. He just sat there. And I went to the back and came back and played another song, but he even played it with more precision and excellence. And everybody stood up but my master, and each time I kept looking for my master, his response. And that last song, when I finished, everybody stood up applauding and cheering. And I looked out, and there was my master standing and applauding me on. He said it was when I saw my master applauding that I knew I was done. You see, friends, you are not serving for my approval or some other pastor's approval. You are not serving for the approval of the person who's leading the ministry. You are serving for the master's approval. You serve for God. Secondly, we serve for kingdom impact. Sometimes we fail to see the impact of our service. But Matthew chapter 15, verse 16 says, "Whatever your hand finds, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works. Your good works. And then the response is that they will glorify your Father in heaven. Dawn Benson tells a story about growing up in a home where her father was a farmer and he was an atheist. Or at least he was not really open to the things of God. He may have believed in God, but he sure didn't show it. And the reason was is that his own father had told him many, many years beforehand, when he was just a boy, that the Bible was nothing more than a book of fairy tales. And so he had come to believe that that was the case, and that going to church was ridiculous, and the faith was ridiculous. One day, the local pastor showed up at his house, talked to the farmer father, and said, "Hey, would you mind if I spent today helping you plow the fields? I'd love to be able to serve you in that way." The farmer was shocked, and he allowed this pastor to plow his fields. When the day was done, the father changed his posture on faith. You see, he didn't need a theological treatise. He didn't need someone to tackle the things that were in his mind. He needed to see somebody who truly reflected God. And as the pastor served, that father became open to the gospel and accepted Jesus Christ out of a simple act of serving. Friends, we may never know the impact of our plowing moments. We may never know the impact of serving as an usher or helping out in the kids' ministry or helping out the Compassion Center or whatever it may be of cleaning parks on the last Saturday of this month. We may never know the impact of our plowing moments, but each time is an opportunity for us to plant a seed in this world that could potentially impact the kingdom of God. We need to serve with purpose. Lastly, Paul says, we need to serve from the overflow. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, you will abound in every good work. We talked about this verse a few weeks ago. Paul's just appealed to the Corinthians to give money to the church in Jerusalem for the poor. And we talked about how that God, when they did that, God was going to release his provisions for them. Now, Paul reminds that God overflows in our lives so that we can overflow to others. Dear friends, when we experience the overflow blessings of God, this is so vital. When we experience the overflow abundance of God, that it is for a purpose and it is so that it can now overflow from our lives. I want you to imagine this. I'm sitting on my front porch one summer day, and it is hot. I mean, it's in the 30s now. That's before the Humidex. It is so hot, and I'm starting to get thirsty. And I know I could probably just go in my house and get a drink from the fridge, but I'm sitting there, and I'm just, like, becoming parched. And I think, you know, I'm going to pray. And I close my eyes, and I'm like, Jesus, could you provide me something to drink? I am so thirsty. Amen. A couple seconds later, somebody from the church pulls up. They have a case of water. And they say, Pastor Jeff, I was just praying this morning and God spoke to me and said that you needed some water. And I just wanted to drop off this case of water for you. And I am overwhelmed. I've just prayed for water. I'm thirsty. And now, not only do I have a bottle of water, I've got a full case, 24 bottles of water. This is incredible. I thank the person from the church, and they drive off. And I'm sitting here now. I pull out one of the bottles, and I get refreshed. I am blown away that God hasn't just given me one bottle, but he is the abundant God, and he's blessed me beyond what I even need. I've got all these bottles here. And as I'm sitting there thinking about this and I'm drinking this bottle of water, I watch a young family come by my house with their kids. And they've got two little kids and they're on their trikes. And they start to whine. Oh, Mom, I'm so thirsty. Oh, I'm so thirsty, Mom. I need a drink. And the mom and dad are trying to comfort the kids. And like, we've only got about another 10 minutes till we get home. But I'm thirsty. I'm so thirsty. And I'm sitting there on my deck, my front porch. And I think to myself, if these people only knew Jesus. I mean, if these people only knew Jesus, they could do what I just did. They could pray that God would provide for their kid. And if they just prayed the prayer, then God would show up and give them what they needed. All those poor suckers. Look at that. I mean, I'm sitting there with 23 bottles of water that I don't need. God hasn't just met my need. He's overflowed. He has poured out his blessings upon my life. And now there's a need before me. And rather than stepping in and blessing this family out of the abundance of God's blessings on me, I am hoarding it to myself. Now, friends, don't throw stones because this is not a real story. It's not real. But you can imagine that if it was a real story, your respect level for me would reduce greatly. Hoarding is never God's intention on overflow blessing. Please hear me. Hoarding is never God's intention on overflow blessing. If he's given you lots of money, then he wants you to meet some financial needs. If he's given you lots of time, he wants you to spend it on ministry. If he's given you lots of skills, he wants you to utilize it for the gifts that he's designed inside of you for the purposes of God. If he's given you an abundance of faith, spill out onto doubtful people and see the miracles take place in their lives. To hoard God's overflow of blessing is to abuse God's generosity. Let me say that one more time because it's a good line. To hoard God's blessing is to abuse God's generosity. God has given an overflow to our lives, an overflow of giftings, an overflow of time, an overflow of finances, an overflow of resources, an overflow in so many areas. And some of us want to hoard that in. Look at the 23 bottles I still have left after my needs were met. And God says, no, 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 no. The overflow from heaven needs to flow out of your life, and you need to serve in an overflow capacity. Pouring out to other people, pouring out God's blessings on others. Think about, let me just backtrack. Some say, I don't have time to serve. Please listen, this. Those who are watching online, once we start getting back, this is going to be a confrontation between you and God, not between you and me, but some will say, I don't have time to serve. I want to tell you two things. Number one is something has replaced serving God. Friends, if God is our priority, and our schedules are so full that we have no ability to serve God, something has replaced God at top spot. Something has. We may say, well, you don't understand my schedule. I just know this, that whatever is of highest value gets priority. Whatever is of highest value gets priority. I don't have time to serve. Then, friends, if you don't have time to serve, then God has wasted. Or maybe I can say it a different way. God's blessings are being wasted in your life because he's placed things inside of you for a reason. He's placed skills inside of you. You see, I'm convinced of this, that we shouldn't have a lack of kids workers. We shouldn't have a lack of ushers. We shouldn't have a lack of people serving in the Compassion Center, which we don't. We wouldn't have a lack in any area of our church because all the skills, God's abundantly filled into this congregation of about 500 people, and there's more than enough here for us to get the job done. But when we say, I don't have enough time, it means that we are wasting what God has given us. And you think, well, that's your opinion. No, actually, we read the story that Jesus told about the manager who gave out 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent, and then went away and said, here's my blessing, now go use it. And the one with 5, he doubled it. The one with 2, doubled it. And the one with 1, he buried it because he was afraid that he would lose it, and he buried it and didn't use it. And Jesus was trying to say, hey, when God has poured out his blessings on you, when he's put things inside of your life and you're not using it, there is something wrong, friends. There's something wrong. God has placed an overflow in our lives that are meant to be used to serve others. Sam Rayburn was the longest standing speaker of the House of Representatives, longer than anybody else. One day he found out that one of his friends had lost their 16-year-old daughter. The next morning he arrived at the house of this friend and said, asked him how he was doing and said, how can I help out? The friend looked at him and says, well, really, there's nothing for you to do. We've got the preparations underway. We're managing. Sam Rayburn, here he is, the Speaker of the House of Representatives of the United States, turned to this friend and said, have you had your morning coffee? Well, no, we've been so busy. And he says, we haven't even had breakfast. And Sam says, well, let me at least make you coffee. Sam went into their kitchen and began to prepare coffee for the family and a breakfast. And as this friend was watching him do this, it struck him that Sam Rayburn was supposed to have breakfast that morning at the White House. And so the friend said to Sam, he said, hey, excuse me for a sec, before you make the coffee, aren't you supposed to have breakfast this morning at the White House? Sam smiled and said, well, yes. But I called the president and I told him that I had a friend in trouble and I couldn't come. Friends, that's the kind of servants we need in the kingdom of God. We need the kind of servants who are willing to put everything else aside to serve because we value the person we're serving. And I don't even mean the people in this place. I'm talking about God. Friends, I'm going to push hard because we're getting more and more comfortable in the Church of Jesus Christ, where we are consumer Christians, where we come and take in a service just like we do in the movies, and we don't understand our responsibility in the body of Christ. But the truth is that our level of service tells us about our level of value of Jesus Christ. It really does. And we need people who will serve in an overflow capacity, something that flows out of our Christianity. Every time there's a sign, there should be people going, hey, how can I help out? I want to serve Jesus with everything I've got. I want there to be an overflow in my life. We need to serve beyond expectation. Don't do the bare minimum, but go to the nth degree further. Serve with purpose, not for the people who've asked you to serve, but serve for Jesus Christ and say, this is my act of worship, and serve for a kingdom impact that you are sowing seeds in people's lives and plowing fields that might lead someone to Jesus, and serve from the overflow of what God has poured into your life. Do not hoard God's generosity in your life, but use it to be an overflow of blessing to the people around you. And friends, my real desire is the Spirit of God would grip your heart, not my words, not obligation or guilt, but there would be the Spirit at work inside of you so that there would be an overflow of service. Let's pray. Jesus, today I'm praying for everybody who's online and for those who are in person. I'm asking God that you would speak to their hearts. God, let there be a movement of servanthood in this place. Let our volunteer list be maxed out. Let our areas of ministries be filled. Let us have a problem of not knowing what to do with all the volunteers, God, because we would have the Spirit that says if we are going to serve, we're going to do it in a way that shows our value of the one that we're serving. God, let us serve beyond expectation. Let us serve with purpose, serving you, God, and serving for the kingdom. And God, let us serve out of the overflow of everything you've given us. God, let no gifting sit dormant and be wasted. Let no financial hoarding take place, but let there be generosity. Let no time be wasted on Netflix and all the other things that consume our time, but God, let our time, the abundance of time that you've even given us in this past season, be used for your kingdom. Let us serve out of the overflow. And as we do, I pray your kingdom will advance and we will see great things in the future for this church, for this community, and most of all, for the kingdom of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.